few sermons that we brought to you. We have tried to exhort you a little, help you. I think I'll talk to you just a little bit about faith. Maybe it won't hold you long. We've been talking about faith in the last little bit. And the Lord has blessed it. Some of them has come to me and said, Brother Pike, it's really been inspiring. Some of you have missed the messages on faith because you wasn't here, but they're on tape. Some have received it and it's done something for them. And we try to get a little more intimate every time so as to help your faith, to strengthen your faith. And that's why we get into the detail, sometimes into minute detail, because that's where the real seed of life is. Reading from chapter 10, let's read a good bit of this chapter. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now sent men to Joppa and called for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. When the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God has cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent. For I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance of the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, art we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained to God, of God, to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witnesses, or witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. This is a real interesting scripture right here, because that is interesting to me and to us, because we're Gentiles. All of the scriptures are very interesting, but this is concerning salvation coming to the Gentile people. And the vision here that Peter saw, it was of all kind of things that God had forbidden the Jews to eat or to partake of as food. And yet God is telling them, here, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord. I'm not going to break the commandment of God. I'm not going to go aside from what the forefathers have taught. I'm not going to do that. Moses told us, he could have said, that these things are unclean and that we are not to eat of these things. Right here you can get a real lesson if you're listening real close. What God was saying to Peter was, Peter, we are in a new age, in a new dimension. And what you need to do is have your mind transformated to where you can understand good and evil. The Bible says the meat is for the strong. They who by reasoning exercise their senses, that they can be able to discern between good and evil. So he said, you need to understand now, Peter, that as being a leader, you need to understand that those things of the Old Testament was only a type, whereas it was beast. Those things that are beast of the Old Testament represent human beings in the New Testament that Paul referred to some of them as being beast. And said in that these are shown to you after this manner, then that means that there are people that I represented by showing you beast of the Old Testament. Or that is to say, the Gentile people or the people in general, that these people were not accepted of God, could not be accepted of God, because they were not children of God. They were not born of God. There was no blood atonement for these people. There wasn't any blood atonement for these people. Therefore, they were unclean for you to even be around or to take up time with. Whereas the Bible uses the terms now, Come out from among them, be a separate people, touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. So then he was teaching Peter a revelation. He was bringing him a revelation by eradicating the veil of the indoctrination of the Old Testament as to the surface of this thing, going back again, as we say, to traditions of the elders and whatever. And when Peter interpreted this thing, going down to Cornelius's, he says, Cornelius, God has shown me that I am not to call common that which he has cleansed. I am not to call a thing unclean if God has cleansed it. And God has revealed to me, he could have said to Cornelius, that God has revealed to me that there is going to be an atonement, or a blood atonement has come now for the Gentiles and for all people of the world. And now I perceive that in every nation where people fear God, they are accepted of God. And this, of course, was a great revelation. It says here that the man Cornelius had been praying. He tells Peter, he says, I was praying up until this time, 4 days ago. Which to you and I, it makes it sound like that he had been in a 4-day fast. But obviously he had been fasting for many days, and it was 4 days ago that this vision came to him. And from that time he had sent the people up to Joppa to get Peter, and the time that it took to get back down there apparently had done away with the 4 days. So he says here, he said, I went into a vision, and he said, I saw this great thing that God done. And God spoke to Cornelius and said, thy prayers, Cornelius, you have prayed so much, you've fasted so much, you've tried to do right so much before me until it's come up as a memorial in heaven up here. And I want to know what's going on. Now, isn't that something? Now, isn't that something? Here is a man that he's supposed to be a dog. What is he doing praying and fasting? What is he doing calling on God? Who is God anyway to him? See, he was the God of the Jews. This man calling on God, asking God to do something. See, and here come, what was this man doing that for? Here comes Peter. What is Peter doing down there anyway? See, there has been something that has taken place. There's a blood atonement. All of a sudden, the great Spirit of God has been moving. And now people are beginning to be stirred. All of a sudden, here is somebody over here that's stirred in another nation. See, the Spirit of God had not done that before. The Spirit of God had moved on the people of the world to the extent that he had been in the midst of them, and they had seen the great signs and wonders by the powers of the Jews. That is, as to those that were anointed of him. You can go over into the Holy Land. I've done it. You'll be over here in a certain place in the Holy Land, and you find out that a great miracle took place. You go down the road 20 miles and you find out in another place in the Holy Land, a great mighty miracle took place. There is a record. There is a history of it. You go over here 40 more miles, 75 miles, 80 miles away, get over here in another town way over there, and another miracle takes place. You find out another great miracle. Like over here, you find out Peter raised Dorcas from the dead. You travel down the road miles and miles. You get over here and you're looking at something, and you find out history says that out of that brush right there where you're looking came a lion that roared at Samson, jumped on Samson, and Samson just rent it like it would have been a kid. Go down to another place, you find another great miracle. That is, all over the place with this Jewish people, there was miracle after miracle. But see, not so with the Gentiles. But all of a sudden, there's a new day. Calvary has come. The blood has been applied. Now there's a stirring. There's a moving of the great Spirit of God. And here is a man, this man, altogether different from the Jewish people. And here he is calling on God. He's fasting and praying and calling on God. And God heard him. Out of the heavens, the voice of this man was heard. Out of the heavens comes an angel. He comes down there and he says to Cornelius, "What is this? Thy prayers, thine alms. You've given so much to people. You've helped so much until it's come up as a memorial for before God." Now, you know, you need to stop and think about this, that if Christ did that in that day, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, folks, we ought to be doing something to become a memorial in his eyes today. Isn't that right? We ought to be doing a little fasting. We ought to be doing a little praying. We ought to be doing a little giving. You know, some people, they just feel like they can't give nothing. They feel like they can't give of their substance. They can't give of their time. They just can't give of nothing. People that have tools around here, you want to use them, they just feel like, "Well, I can't do that. They'll mess up my tools." You need to use an automobile, a truck. Somebody said, "Well, you can't use mine, you know. I don't feel like you'll take care of it." I've got people here in the local community that does that very thing. People that live here at Bethlehem that does that very thing. See, not realizing that that is a display of ignorance. What difference does it make if they ruin every tool you've got? If you did it as unto God and you let them have that, what difference does that make? What if they do wreck your car? If you let it out for God and you know that you let it out for God and it's been wrecked, you know, they don't expect you to come over there rejoicing over the fact that they wrecked your car. But you should come over there rejoicing over the fact that you did it as unto God, and God's got thousands of automobiles that he'll give you. Like something was said the other day of someone that gave a person an automobile, and then something worked around that somebody else got involved, they took it back. And I said, they ought not never done that. That's dangerous. Could cause somebody to get killed. They should never have done that. I said, that could cause a wreck. I said, the car could be wrecked. 2 or 3 days, they wrecked the car. They run into a telephone post. Just got the report. See, you don't do things like that. You don't play games like that with God. God doesn't play games. What you do it as unto the Lord. Whatever I do it as unto the Lord. I have lost many thousands of dollars through leeches and people that had no respect for God, nor me, nor God's people, nor God's things. I've lost thousands of dollars. Tens of thousands of dollars have gone down the drain. But you know what? I got it on the rebound and God turned it back and gave me hundreds of thousands of dollars. Because I did it as unto the Lord. I gave it as unto the Lord. To love the Lord with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my strength. To love my neighbor as myself. To love my enemies. To do good to them that despitefully use me. I don't appreciate evil. I don't want to be around evil. A man goes to talking about the wrong things and saying the wrong things, and especially when I've tutored him and I've taught him better and I just see him foaming out his vomit, I'm ready to get away from there because I don't like the smell of it and I don't want to step in it. Oh, somebody said you shouldn't do that. Well, the Bible said when you perceive that there's no understanding in a man to go from him, and that's what I do. As Brother Jerry will say sometime, we're on the field together. We're over here together. And all of a sudden, Jerry will look and he'll find me gone. As he was today. Something happened today. And he'll find me gone. And I'll look and wherever I hide, Jerry, he'll search me out. And here Jerry will come like he did today. And in a few minutes, he wants to know what's wrong. I said, "Everything's fine, Jerry." "Oh, no, something happened. I know something happened." Because he's learned my nature. And then I have to confess and say, "Yep, something happened, Jerry." And I don't want to be offensive to anyone. I don't want to hurt anyone. So I just ease on out. When I find out I can't talk to an individual and get any reasoning in them or get them to understand man or woman, you know, I'm ready to go. And if all this vomit begins to spew out and the people that I'm with don't have enough understanding or integrity with God to get away from that mess, then I'll be gone. And they'll find themselves sitting right there and staying right there because I'll be gone by the help of God. I'll suffer some things. As for the sake of God, I'll suffer many things. And I have suffered many things. But otherwise, I'm going to get away from that kind of thing. That's what God wants us to do. Amen. God wants us to be holy. He wants us to be clean. He wants us to be godly. He wants us to be upright. At the same time, God doesn't want us to take the outlook more holier than thou. He doesn't want us to lord over his heritage. He doesn't want us to call things common and unclean. Things that he has cleansed. Things that he hath made holy. Things that he hath made right. See, God wants us to work together. And he wants to bless us. And he wants what we have to be holy. And he wants to multiply. And he wants us to do things as unto him. He wants us to take our substance, whether it's our time, as we say, our monies, or whether it's our cars or houses or lands, our bodies, our mental faculties, our eyes, no matter what it is, the strength that we have. God wants us to put it to the exchangers that when he comes, he'll have usury at his coming. He wants us to give to him all that we are. So thoroughly does God want us in our attention that he said every thought must be brought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ, even as David of old, as to the intent of my heart. See, the impulses of our body should be for God. The reflex of our mind should be for God. Every thought that we think should be for God. It doesn't matter what anybody is saying. It doesn't matter what we're doing. We should do it as unto God. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, I know for sure there's things that you can't do as unto God that Christians do. There is no such things that Christians do. People do stumble into things that are Christians. They do. Unwillingly, they do. A good man falls, God will pick him back up. The Lord will help him. A good man will fall 7 times and get back up. But let me tell you something. There is not one thing in a human life. Not one thing. When I say not one thing, I mean not one thing. There is not one thing in a human life that God has given, that's ordained in this life, that if you'll go through a natural, ordinary way of life, married, unmarried, or whatever it might be, that you can't do as unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. You can do everything as unto the Lord. You can work on your job and you can make your family a living, putting God first in your heart and in your mind. And do that as unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You can dedicate your business and your job to God, make it a ministry for Christ Jesus. You can do that. You can dedicate your wife to God. You can dedicate your children to God. You can dedicate your activities to God. All of your conversation, let it be holy. Even your affections, set your affections on things above where thieves don't break through and steal and where moth doesn't corrupt. Do it as unto the Lord. All is unto the Lord. You know, it doesn't matter what you do. Somebody would say, oh, I know some things. I know some things. What about human relation? The Bible said, let every man have his own wife to avoid fornication. And let him render due benevolence unto her and her likewise unto him. Not defrauding one another. Only at a time with consent to give themselves unto fasting and prayer. And then let them come back together lest Satan tempt them for their incontinency. Let's give him a hand. I said there's nothing in life that you can't do. But what you can do it unto God, if it's the things that God has ordained or the things in life, there's nothing unclean. Even the bed of the married is undefiled in all. So the whoremonger and the harlot, the Bible said God will judge. So then we find that we can do all things for Christ and do it to the will of God, for the benefit of God, that we might preserve our virtues of life and keep our strength and keep ourselves clean, that we might be harmonious with God in every stride, that when we move for God, we move clean, we move holy, we move godly, and we're blessed of God, and all of our substance is blessed of God. But let me tell you, folks, when you misuse your bodies, when you misuse your privileges, when you break the laws and ordinances of God and you transgress the way of God, When you go contrary to God, you're going to be rejected of God. And there's no need for you to offer yourselves to God because He won't receive you. He said He wants a lamb without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. There's no need of you offering your substance to God, because if your substance is not sanctified unto the Lord, He doesn't want it. He doesn't care for it. But if you walk holy, dedicated, let God sanctify what you've got. When you reach out there to get something, you're getting that thing from out there through the filter of God, and the filth doesn't come with it. The infiltration doesn't come with it. It's not a thieving thing. It's not a manipulated thing. It's not something that you pulled a deal where you cheated your brother or whatever. It's not like Achan as to the golden wedge. It isn't cursed. You get something that's clean and holy, and God will bless it. It will be yours. Like the Bible said, that's gotten by labor, riches gotten by labor shall increase. God will bless them. He won't curse them. But if you manipulate and cheat and swindle, the Bible said even though you get riches, you'll be cut off in the midst of your days, and in the end, you'll be a fool. So then, I said that to say this, faith in God. If you cannot live holy, talk holy, be holy, think holy, keep your mind holy, holy and clean. The Bible said, do thy diligence to keep thine heart, for out of it comes forth the issues of life. And if you cannot keep your heart holy and clean, sanctified by faith, God won't have any part with you. And God won't do anything in your behalf for you or with you or through you, because He can't get close to you. You're defiled. You're unclean. And God's eyes cannot look on iniquity. But if you make an effort, a real God effort, and though you might stumble, though you might fall, though you might make a mistake, the blood of Jesus still applies for you and in your behalf. And God looks down out of heaven. And when He looks down out of heaven, He sees you. What I'm saying is this, that when we walk upright, when we talk right, when we do right, then we're walking with God. We're with God. We feel His presence. He blesses our substance. He multiplies our substance. He doesn't curse our substance. Like the Lord says in one place, He said, I have cursed your blessings. Now someone would say, Brother Pike, I don't believe it. God actually curses people's blessings. He said, I have cursed your blessings already. And that's why that you can't keep a car. That's why you can't keep a home. That's why you can't keep your health. That's why you can't keep your wife. You can't keep your husband. Your children are all, everything's wrong with them. Because your blessings have been cursed. He said, I've done this because you have let my house lay waste. Okay, so we think, well, the house of God, this is the house of God. This is the house of God. But He was really speaking of this body. Your body, it's the temple of God. And God dwells within that temple. And if you don't keep it holy, and if you don't keep it godly, if you don't keep it pure, the Bible said be holy in body and in spirit. And if you don't keep it that way, then you've let the house of God lay waste. You've let demons and devils of the desire for money changing to come in and set up their way in your heart. And the Lord gets angry. And that's when He takes up the whip and turns over the tables. See, so God has cursed your blessings. But God can bless your blessings. See, He tells us that our first interest should be in Him. We should pray without ceasing. He says to the ministers that they should fast often. And He said unto the ministry, lay in the altars all night long, ye ministers of God, and howl for the people. I had people that were making the translation. He said He saw them making the translation. They were falling through the system and making the translation. He said, but when this one brother got up there, he couldn't make it. Why? Apparently because he had not followed the right system. He'd not done the right thing. And I know for sure
that the person that he told me has been just exactly that. Though I've warned them many times and talked to them. They are overconfident in their own selves. And no matter what I tell them, they apply it to themselves as to use it the way that they feel. You know? You are to use a thing according to the directions. It's like I said today, Chuck is one to try to follow directions. The laser writer came in, he took the directions, he took the books, schematics, whatever it was, and he followed it right down the line in just a little bit. He had everything together and it was functioning just perfectly, it appeared to me. See, a lot of people doesn't do God's word that way. They won't follow every jot and every tittle. That was the thing about Jesus. The Bible said every jot and every tittle of the law had to be fulfilled. Whatever his heavenly Father said, he did it. He did it. He fulfilled the law and brought the grace of God upon you and I. And then said, you follow in my steps. Now you go on to the fullness of the stature as to the perfect man. You go on to be perfect. You lay every jot and tittle to the line. But see, we read a little over here and then we put in a little bit of what we think about it and we listen to somebody else. And after a while, we've got it all jumbled up and it's just one big mess. And then we try to feed it to the people. See, that's not good, folks. But when we learn to follow every jot and tittle, that's the way. See, take Jesus, for instance. Today, the Jews still accuse Jesus of violation of their law, and that's why they killed him. As a matter of fact, it was just on this trip when David was over there. Well, it's not too long ago that he met a son of one of the leading ones of the priesthood. And he quizzed the man about Jesus. And the man said, we killed him. That is, speaking of his fathers. Said he was hard-headed and whatever, and forget the terms they use. And like they said about Paul being hard-headed. And said he transgressed our laws. He broke our laws and said we killed him. And if he was here today, we'd kill him again. See, now that's the accusation against Jesus. So is that against the church. They blame the church with all kinds of things. But as it was said down in Egypt, when they blamed the people, that is the people of God, they said the fault is not in our hands. We're doing all we know to do. Said the fault is in your hands, like they shut us down out here today. The fault is in their hands. When we check back the laws, the rules, the regulations, they're the one that's breaking them. We're catching the repercussion from them. Supposed to be separation of church and state, that they don't tell us what to do. We don't tell them what to do. We just preach the gospel, we worship the Lord. But yet they rise up as the old bonds child and tell us what to do and say we can't tell them nothing. But see, there's coming a reckoning day. And in that day, they're going to have to prove, as it was before Pilate, that the Lord Jesus has broken their rules and regulations as to what Moses gave them. And I can tell you that he never broke one. He never changed one. He never altered one. He willfully and willingly broke the tradition of the elders to stir those people up against him so he could reprove them for keeping the tradition of the elders and breaking the laws of God. In that day, they're going to find out that they are the one that broke the law and that Jesus fulfilled every jot and every tittle. And in the day of judgment, they're going to find out that all that they charged us with, that they are guilty of it, because the Bible said you're God's elect. And no one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. That you keep yourself and the evil one toucheth you not. That you're without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. And that the saints are going to judge the world. And they are the ones that are guilty. Because there's no more blood covering at the end of the grace age. To cover their sins. And their sins will appear as to the judgment upon them. So then we see that we are trying to do right. And we must honor God with our substance in our lives and our minds. We serve Him with our minds. Every thought. And folks, this is what builds faith. And this is what purifies our heart. For the Bible said God purifies our heart by faith. It's when we do these things that please God. John said when we do these things, then do we have confidence in God. That when we ask of God, God heareth us. And if we know that God heareth us, then we know that we have the petition that we desire of God, because we do the things that please God. But I tell you that you cannot go contrary. You cannot do the things of the world. You cannot be nonchalant in the world and just do any old way that you want to and have faith in God, because it won't work. It won't work. You may feel, because everything is rosy with you and you have an income, that faith is working real good, supposing that worldly gain is godliness. The Bible said, from such turn away. For you didn't bring anything in the world, and it's for sure you're not going to take anything out. Just because you're prospering in the natural, that don't mean that God's with you. You may be manipulating, you may be cheating, or you may be whatever, you know. But prosperity in the Lord, the Bible said, he that confesseth his sins and forsaketh his sins shall prosper. Whatever he does shall prosper. All right, so then we see that we are not common, we are not unclean, though we are the Gentile people. But we're not common, we're not unclean. We are sanctified and we're cleansed and we are holy and pure before the God of heaven. And the Lord has given unto us eternal life and given us eternal riches, strength, power to reign forever. As I told Gracie today and mentioned it to some of the brethren from time to time, we need to do the things that please God. Then when we run into a problem, run into a snare, the Bible said, in the day of your troubles, call upon me and I will deliver you, saith the Lord, and then ye shall praise my name when you are in trouble. But it doesn't tell us to practice trouble and to use it for a hobby horse of excuse, of always dilly-dallying around the world and dabbling in the things of the world and then coming back to God and say, I'm sorry. God doesn't want that. For he said, therefore, leaving the foundation of repentance, let us go on, he said, to be perfect, or on to perfection, not turning again to lay the foundation of repentance on the dead works and to faith toward God. But let us go on to be perfect, to be therefore perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. But it is true that when we try and when we stumble or when we fall, it is true when we're making an effort and we fall or we get in trouble, if we call on the Lord, he will deliver us. He will deliver us. Let me say just a few things in close. I know it's hot. I know it's uncomfortable. This is the way that I look at the Lord. I just share the way I feel. I look at the Lord like this. I have an affliction, I have a problem, as many are the afflictions. I have a problem, then I think, Lord, heal me. Lord, make me well. And then I think, as always, you know, when I would do good, evil is present with me. In my flesh there's no good thing. That is, Satan is warring from the elements that surround me, the prince of the powers of the air, warring through my body against my mind. There's a continual warfare between my body and soul. The things that I would do, I have a war trying to perform. Paul says, you've had a will, have a performance. Sin, and I think, Lord, heal me. And then I think, but Lord, I'm not good enough. All of the condemnation come before me, all of my shortcomings, all of my problems. I pray day and night, I do all I know to do, but Lord, I feel so dirty, I feel so unclean, I feel like I'm nothing, I feel little, I feel small, I feel like I'm just about to despair of life. Then I think, no, I can't do that. I know I'm guilty of all those things, so far as my unworthiness, and all of my efforts as righteousness, fasting, whatever, it would be as filthy rags. And I merit nothing in the sight of God. Neither can I count on anything from God because of what I do. But I think, I'm not like that. I am clean. I am holy. I am godly. I am pure. I keep myself in the evil one, toucheth me not. By virtue of the works of Calvary, by what he's done for me, he sees me holy. He sees me godly. I'm complete in Christ. He sees nothing laid to my charge, and nothing that can separate me from his love. And so I think, Lord, I know that you'll heal me. I know that you'll help me. I know that you will. Though I sit in darkness, your light will come to me.
See, you so loved me while I was yet in my sins. You sent your son to die for me. So I say, I know that you care for me. I know that you'll help me. And thinking like that, I think upon his righteousness. And I glorify him for his virtues and his godliness and his holiness that's been given to me. Raised again for my justification and took away my offenses. And that he was delivered for my offenses where I offended against God. And I'm free from sin and condemnation. And the Bible says you'll never come into condemnation. And then I think like this. I thank Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I think, Lord, the Bible says you was anointed with the mighty Holy Ghost. And you went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil. You, in your lifetime as a man, went about doing good. Just went about doing good. If I'd have met you, you'd have been doing good, Lord. And you was healing all. If I'd have met you, if I'd have needed healing, and I'd have turned and said, Lord, heal me, you'd have had compassion. Then I think, well, of course he would have. It would be ignorance, my ignorance, to think that he wouldn't have. Because there's no record where he ever bypassed anybody. Even when blind Bartimaeus kept calling out, and there's going to pass him by. And he kept saying, O thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus started over there. They want to push him away. Jesus said, nay, I'm sent not but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He went over and opened his eyes. Took the little children and set the little children on his knee. Had time for them when the rest were too busy. Saying of such is the kingdom of God. And then I think, but Lord, you're the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. And the Bible said where two or three are, you are in the midst of them. You're resurrected from the dead. But you're passing by. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And I thought, oh my God, that means that he'll heal me. He'll heal me. Sure he'll heal me. And then I cry out, oh Lord, have mercy on me. And God moves like that and something begins to happen. I feel that new strength. Why wouldn't he do that? It would be my ignorance to think he wouldn't. If I said that he wouldn't, then I would be an unbeliever, because the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So then of course I believe that. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivereth him out of them all. So I'm saying this to encourage your faith in God. This is the way that faith works. Is when you realize that everything is already finished at Calvary. Before you called, he answered. He appropriated it in Calvary and gave you all things that pertain unto life. Joy, peace, happiness, prosperity, freedom over devils and demons. I give you power over all the powers of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now somebody says, well, the devil sure pounds on me. He beats my brains out. But he wouldn't if he was a believer. Because when he said, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, he's talking about the believer. Because that's the way they get their power. See, and then you're filled with the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, then shall you receive power. Said he anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Stephen's a man filled with the Holy Ghost and power. So, when we think of that, we have all power, even over death. We will eventually discover that we don't have to sleep to wit the redemption of the body. Power over even the powers of death, that we may live forever without even being put in a coffin. So this is the glory of serving God. Clean, holy, not common, not unclean. But we are God's people. And our problem is not God. It is not God's word. It is not God's hand. He said, my hand is not short that it cannot save, but thine iniquities have separated between thee and thy God. I purify your heart by faith, if thou canst believe, Jesus said. And why is it you can't believe? It's because you make no efforts to conform to his way of life. Faith is by the hearing of the word of God. You make no effort to read it, no effort to learn it, no effort to hear it, no effort to serve it, no effort to conform to it, no effort to love and desire the truth. So you find yourself without faith. That's why he said, O faithless generation. See, you had rather eat, drink, talk, gossip, laugh,
backbite, do all these ugly, crazy things and wreck your life as a people. Why do that? I'm going to try to close. Why do that? At the end of the day, I'm going to be just as tired if I lay, talk, do all the things that there are to do in life. I'm going to be just as tired. Just as tired as if I'd give that time to God to exalt, to pray, to rejoice, to tell somebody about Jesus, to help somebody. I'm going to be just as tired the other way. You know the difference? The difference is you're squandering your time, and the difference is that the devil is the prince of the powers of the air. He loves the thing of the flesh. And doing the things of the flesh, you get more joy and jubilance in the flesh because he'll perk you up. He'll perk you up. You know, he'll tell a little joke. He'll do anything to perk you up. He'll give you a little boost. And that leads you into death and destruction. But you can be sure of one thing, that when sickness does strike and heartaches does strike and misery does strike, and when these things do come around, you'll remember the days of and you'll remember all of the things you've done, because heartache and sickness and misery such as you've never known will come. And then you can try to do those things, but there won't be any joy in them. There won't be any laughter in them. There won't be any rejoicing in them, because it'll be too late. That's the days of reaping. But folks, it might seem a little bit on the self-denial side. It might seem a little bit on the disciplinary side. It might be a little bit on the subjecting side. It might be a little bit as to surrender. Your way of life has to conform to his desire to do what he wants you to do. But in the end, it'll pay off with great dividends. In the end, it'll be joy unspeakable and full of glory, health and happiness, riches and power throughout eternity. And this is what God wants us to do, to build our faith, to do the things that please God. Hereby we have confidence in God, that God heareth us, and we know that if he heareth us, we have the petition that we desire of him. Like today, I decreed a thing in my heart. I went and prayed. I said, it will be, it will be. I testified of the things, and I said, it will be exactly that way. And I boasted in God. And it inspired my wife. And my wife had promised to pay for this machine here a long time back. And she said, I believe I can pay for it. So I said, if you believe it, God will let you do it. So I went and prayed to God. And I began to believe. And I said, Lord, I want her to be able to do whatever needs to be done, that she can keep her word and that she can prove her faith in God. And I even told some of them, I said, my wife has got faith, though we don't agree on all things. We have differences and disputes, and we always will, because we're human beings. But I said, she's got faith in God. I've seen her use great faith. And I said, she's got faith in God. And I said, the Lord is going to meet the needs right down the line. And I said, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he didn't use her to do it, because she said she'd do it. And when the Lord worked it, he worked it right through her, just beautifully. Because she said, I believe. I believe. I had went into the house to pray and had just finished talking to the Lord. Looking at it like this, I've got to go take my shots. It's almost noontime. I said that you would do it. It's to be here. That settles it. I feel it. Everything's fine. And immediately, it was there. Immediately, it was there. See, because that's the way that God works. That's the way that God works. Faith is powerful. So then I challenge you to decree a thing in your heart. Don't doubt. Then see if it'll come to pass. Decree a thing in your heart. Don't try to figure out how, where, when, or who. Decree a thing in your heart. God will work it out. You decree the thing in your heart. Whatever you want, God will give you the desires of your heart. But the main thing that you need to do is delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord because it makes a merry heart, a cheerful giver. And faith arises out of that. And decree it in your heart. And don't doubt, but believe. Decree it in your heart. Jesus said, whatever you say, believe in your heart, don't doubt. You shall have whatsoever you say. When you desire something, when you pray, believe that you receive it and ye shall have it. So then decree a thing in your heart. But one thing remember, you need to dedicate your life and your substance to God and believe for this thing toward God. Because the Bible said you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss. To consume it on your own lust. You're not asking God for a home, God for a car, God for health, God for money, God for strength. But as the Bible said, it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. His blessing maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. You're not asking him for those things so that you could go to church, use them for God, rejoice in God, share with somebody, let somebody see the blessings of your faith. And know that God has moved in your behalf. You're not doing that, see? And so you ask amiss, and your faith doesn't register, it doesn't move. Your heart isn't purified, and you don't get what you're asking for. Another thing, a lot of people's prayers are hindered to this extent. The Bible said, when you pray, if you have aught against anybody, forgive them. Get it out of your heart. You can't have it there. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. When I lay down on my bed, I make it my business, night after night, not to have any malice in my heart. If I am disagreeing with my wife or my children or whatever, though I might be cut to the heart over something a brother or sister or somebody has done, I make it my business not to carry that over, to have a grudge. I might be bleeding in my heart when I lay down, but I make it my business to see that I don't have any ill feeling or motives in my heart toward that individual. If I disagree, if I get crossed up with my loved ones or anyone else, the Bible said, do thy diligence to keep thine heart, for out of it comes forth the issues of life. I make it my business, as Paul said, to keep my conscience void of offense, always before man and God. See, I don't let nothing come in my heart that's going to be bitter or ugly, but though he might deserve it, as the world would say, though I could feel like killing him or her, but I don't let that in my heart. If I should get angry, as the Bible said Jesus was angry because of the hardness of their heart, if I should get angry, the Bible said anger rest is in the bosom of fools. If you get anger, get it out of you. Get it away from you. Don't carry it over, because you are a fool if you carry it. So I make it my business always to see that that conscience is void of offense toward man and God, that I don't have any ill feeling toward anybody at any time. I make it my business to do that. That way your prayers are not hindered. So the Bible said when you stand praying, if you're going to declare something in your heart or decree it in your heart to call those things that are not as though they are by the strength of the word of God, then he said, if there's aught against anyone, forgive. Lest ye forgive from your heart. Faith works in the heart. You can't have salvation. Said, because lest you forgive from your heart, your heavenly Father will not forgive your trespasses. So that means that lest you forgive from your heart, God can't sanctify and purify your heart. And that's where faith is unto salvation, as do the translation. All right, let's stand together. I appreciate your kindness tonight. I know that you're probably weary and tired. It's hot. I think the little ones have done real well, but this is the time that it gets hot. Think what it's going to be like in hell. Not a drop of water. Screaming. And people gnashing on one another with their teeth. Cursing and screaming and hating.
So we're here to worship the Lord, here to pray. It's the hot time of the year. It's getting hotter and hotter. It usually always moves around to that hot, hot time. Let's sing I love him, can't we? I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Can you sing with me? I love him. I love him. Oh, because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation. Oh, his tree. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. At the cross, where we first saw the light and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. For at the cross, where we first saw the light and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Let's sing this little chorus. Come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Oh, come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Let's lift our hands up, close our eyes. If you really believe tonight that Christ is alive from the dead, and that He is in the midst of us, and that He is waiting for us to call upon Him, saying, ask what you will, and I will do it. And He said, it is my will that you bear much fruit, and my fruits, this is my fruits, that you have whatever you ask for. Whatever you ask for, and that is the fruits that I want you to bear. Wouldn't that be wonderful every time I said, Lord, give me something. And it's invisible. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And all of a sudden, out of my branches, comes forth the beautiful surroundings of all forms of creation as to the necessities and the joys of life. And someone sees the car, and someone sees the house, and someone sees the things that are done and the multitude of blessings, the fruits coming forth from my branches, and I bear much fruit. And they say, there is a God. There is a God. Oh, I see what's happening. There is a God. And then they begin to believe. And folks, I tell you the truth, it's real. It is real. You can believe. You can believe. It is so easy. As Peter walked on the water, you can believe. But yet it is so easy to doubt by considering your environment or circumstances and find yourself without faith and be sinking just within a moment. You can change it about that quick to walk on the water or to sink. He had his eyes on Jesus. He walked on the water. He was a master by faith. He looked at the circumstances, saw the raging wave. Fear replaced faith. And down he went. And then he raised his eyes once again to look at Jesus and begin to believe, if no more than to think that God would save him. And the hand of mercy went out. And so his faith began to register again, at least to the extent that the hand of God was able to save him. To me, that is so wonderful. That is so wonderful. Unbelief, his iniquities of unbelief had separated between him and the word as to Jesus that said, come. Faith in God, have faith in God. Don't be afraid, don't doubt. Have faith in God. If you'll have faith in God, God will do it for you. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to figure who it's coming through. Don't try to look to any source, because you get your mind off of faith in God and you get it on the source. Let God work that out. You just decree in your heart that it's going to be, and do whatever you can toward it as to your efforts. And don't worry. It'll all come to pass. Jesus will do it. While you've got your hands up, standing here at the altar, I want you to remember me in prayer. Tonight's Wednesday. We still have our weekend service. And then after the weekend service, other than the Monday night with the men at the meeting, if we're here, and other than Wednesday night with the people, we'll be leaving. And be gone for quite a number of weeks. As a matter of fact, we've gone about 6 weeks in Central America this time. It could be 8 weeks.
coming back for a couple of weeks and then leaving again for Australia, New Zealand, and several places. But our goal is to go do something for God, to win souls, to try to win a soul. And all of you that have shared in it, God will bless you. A brother came to me today and said, "Would you pray for me, Brother Pike, and believe with me?" I said, "I'll sure try." He said, "I want to be a part of your trip, and I'm going and make an effort so that I can have some money to give, that I can be part of this trip. To bid it Godspeed, your partakers." And some have bid it Godspeed, and some will bid it Godspeed, for which we're very grateful. And if you do that, not that we desire it of you, because I believe that God will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory and give me the desires of my heart. I believe that. He's always done that. And abundance to my cup overflowing. Always done that. See, and I believe that he will do that. So I don't speak in respect of want. I want to be an example unto you, that I might believe that you may see faith in my heart and follow me. Paul said, as I follow Christ and know that he's good, he's loving, he's kind, he will do it, he's faithful and will do it. All of his promises are yea and amen. There's nothing to be questioned about God as to say maybe he won't, or maybe it won't work, or maybe it wasn't meant that way. All is just yea and amen. When it says, "My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory," yea, amen. "My God will make you as a tree that's planted by the water to bring forth your fruit in your season, your leaves not wither," yea, and amen. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivereth him out of them all," yea, and amen. "The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow," yea, and amen. "Having given us all things," as we say, "that pertain unto life," yea, and amen. "It is the Lord thy God that giveth thee that power to get wealth," yea, and amen. "He will lead me beside the still waters. He will restore my soul." All of these things, yea, and amen. See, that's faith. Faith says, yea, amen. So be it. God said it. It's got to happen. It's got to happen. And think of it like this as I close. Think of it like this. That the Lord, when he's looking at you, if you're really born again, though you might just be a child in God, you might stumble, but you're sincere, really genuinely sincere, trying to do your best. Remember, when God looks at you, he's not seeing you. You're dead, buried, and gone. He doesn't see any of you. He's not concerned about your configuration or form. Your face. He sees the Lord Jesus Christ. Bone of his bone. Flesh of his flesh. Holy and righteous and godly. And when we say, "Oh Lord, help me, oh Lord." It goes up to the throne as the Lord saying to the angels, as we would say in our terms, "Hurry. Hurry, Jesus is calling, hurry, hurry." And they know there ain't one thing to keep them from going. He's perfect. He's perfect. And they hurry down here to you and I because we're bone of his bone. We're members of his body in particular. And he hurries to the side of Jesus to give us the desires of our heart. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. While you're worshiping the Lord, your eyes closed, your hands lifted up to heaven, thinking on the good things of God. I'm going to ask Brother James from out of Macon, Georgia, if he'll come up here and pray with us out of Jeffersonville, Georgia. Come up here and pray with us to pray the closing prayer tonight. And as he comes to pray, consider the things that I have said. Incorporate these things in your life and pray for me. And when you pray, don't forget, Jesus said, "Watch and pray. Be sure you watch. Be sure you pray. Watch and pray. And then he says, not only to watch and pray, but he said, when you pray, believe. 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 No need to pray. You can pray all the time, night and day, it's no good. But when you pray, believe. He does not purify our hearts by praying. He purifies our hearts by believing. Prayer just helps us get in tune. Maybe we'll enlarge a little bit on prayer and fasting once again some night to show the way that it should be done. But as our brother prays, you pray. And while you're praying together, decree a thing in your heart. Pray in one for another and believe and watch it come to pass.